The old aircraft was perfect for sightseeing. Its slow speed and the big square windows along her fuselage offered unobstructed panoramic viewing. The children sat in the old wicker chairs with their padded cushions and jabbered excitedly at seeing the buildings of Manhattan reach upward toward them. Pitt made 3 trips, and while the plane was being refueled, he walked over and admired the red tri-wing World War I Fokker that was parked next to the tri-motor. At one time during the war, it had been the scourge of the Allied air services, flown by the German aces Manfred von Richthofen, Werner Voss, and Hermann Göring. Von Richthofen had claimed it climbed like a monkey and maneuvered like the devil. Pitt was studying the guns mounted onto the engine cowling when a man in old flying togs walked up to him. "What do you think of her?" he asked. Pitt turned and looked into the olive eyes of a dark-skinned man who had the sharp features of an Egyptian. He stood tall and straight, with what looked to Pitt to be a military bearing. Both men studied each other for a moment. Finally, Pitt said, "I'm always surprised at how small the old fighters look in pictures, but become quite large when you stand next to them." He pointed at the twin guns mounted behind the propeller. "They look like the genuine articles." The man nodded. "Original Spandau 7.92 millimeters." "And the ammunition belts? They're loaded with rounds?" "Purely to impress the onlookers," said the man. "She was an excellent killing machine for her time. I like to retain the image." He removed a gauntlet-style flying glove and offered his hand. "I'm Conger Rand, the owner of the plane. You're the pilot of the trimotor?"
"Yes."
Pitt had the strange feeling that the man knew him.
"My name is Dirk Pitt."
"I know," said Rand. "You're with Numa. Have we met?"
"No, but we have a mutual acquaintance."
Before Pitt could reply, Kelly called out, "We're ready to load for the last flight." They were in the midst of the trip when Pitt was distracted by a shadow that appeared alongside and slightly above the tri-motor.
"We have a visitor," said Mary, as the children began squealing in delight.
Pitt looked up to see a bright splash of red against the dazzling blue sky. The pilot of the Fokker triplane waved from his cockpit no more than 50 yards away. He was wearing a leather flight helmet and goggles, with a silk ribbon streaming from the top of his head. The old Fokker was so close, Pitt saw the pilot's teeth flash in a wide, almost evil grin. He was about to wave back when the antique plane suddenly veered away. Pitt watched as the red triplane performed a loop and then abruptly swooped back toward the Ford tri-motor, angling in from the forward port side.
"What is that crazy nut doing?" asked Mary. "He can't perform acrobatics over the city."
Her question was answered when twin bursts of laser-like light flashed from the muzzles of the twin Spandau machine guns. For a brief instant, Mary thought it was part of a staged aerial stunt, but then the glass in the windshield burst into fragments, quickly followed by a spray of oil and an eruption of smoke from the engine in front of the cockpit. Pitt threw the tri-motor into a steep 360-degree bank until he could see the Fokker moving below and to his left before it banked and returned for another attack. He shoved the throttles to their stops and followed in the vain hope of staying on its tail, but it was a losing proposition. The tri-motor's top speed was more than 30 miles an hour faster than the ancient fighter plane, but now, with the loss of one engine, his advantage in speed was canceled by the Fokker's agile maneuverability. Smoke poured out of the exhaust stacks of the center engine, and it was only a matter of seconds before it caught fire. Pitt reached down, turned off the fuel selector switch, and then the ignition on a panel below the throttles, watching the propeller on the center engine come to a stop in the horizontal position. Kelly appeared in the doorway of the cockpit.
"Why are you throwing us all over the sky?" she demanded furiously. "You're frightening the children!"
Then she caught sight of the smoking engine, the shattered windshield, and felt the rush of air.
"What is happening?"
"We're under attack by a lunatic," Pitt said. "Go back and calm the kids. Make them think we're playing a game. do whatever it takes to occupy their minds and play down the danger. He turned toward Mary and gave her a nod of encouragement. Get on the radio and give a mayday. Pitt watched as the Fokker tri-wing swept around for another pass at the tri-motor. He might have attempted to set the plane down in the East River. The thought quickly came and was rejected. With the tri-motor's rigid landing gear, the potential for a watery crash was too high, and he couldn't be sure the blood-crazed pilot would not strafe the helpless passengers if they weren't injured in the landing. Pitt made his decision and circled the tri-motor back toward the Brooklyn Bridge. The Red Fokker stood on its wingtips and followed the tri-motor on a reverse course down the river. Pitt eased back on the throttles to his two remaining engines and allowed his attacker to close. The Fokker's pilot pulled his nose up in a steep climb before dipping downward in a shallow dive out of the sun. At 100 yards, the pilot opened fire, the bullets tearing into the corrugated aluminum sheets on the right wing behind the engine. The twin Spandos were on target for less than 2 seconds before Pitt pushed the tri-motor in a near-vertical dive. The plane plunged down toward the water, the Fokker pilot right on its tail, but not firing until he could line up his sights again. At the last instant, Pitt pulled back on the control column and sent the tri-motor on a course that would take him directly under the Brooklyn Bridge. "Oh, Lord," muttered Mary. "You're not going under the bridge." "Watch me," Pitt said doggedly.